Today is Divine Mercy Sunday, the Easter gift that we receive from the risen Christ. It is that golden thread that weaves the gospel message together. In fact, the Catechism tells us that the gospel is the revelation in Jesus Christ of God's mercy to sinners. That's why the angel told Joseph, "You shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." We begin each Holy Mass begging God for his mercy, except for today, since we did the sprinkling rite. But we say, "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." And when we say these words, do we really grasp what it means? God's mercy is simple. It is rooted in love, the same love that parents have for their children, the love that a father had for his son. And that is very simple to explain. But divine mercy requires us to go beyond our intellect and look deep into our hearts. And that makes it complicated, because it also challenges us to look into Jesus' heart, the heart that was pierced for our offenses. And so we must consider the idea of divine mercy with the eyes of faith, not simply our intellect or our feelings or emotions. In this beautiful narrative that we heard in today's gospel, Jesus gives the frightened apostles a mission to be ministers of his mercy. He tells his apostles, "Peace be with you." And then he shows them his hands and his side that bear the marks of his passion. And he tells them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And then he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins of any you hold, forgiven, and whose sins you retained, they will be retained." He first gives them his peace, and only then does he entrust to them the gift of forgiving sins. Saint Faustina, the Polish nun, heard Jesus say to her, "That I desire that priests proclaim this great mercy of mine towards the souls of sinners. Let the sinner not be afraid to approach me. The flames of mercy are burning me, clamoring to be spent, and I want to pour them out upon these souls." And that, my dear brothers and sisters, is the sacrament of reconciliation, the sacrament of God's mercy. What an incredible gift that we have from our Lord. When we approach the priest in the sacrament of confession, we ask for forgiveness, but we receive so much more. It is through our priest that we hear the voice of Jesus himself. We receive his mercy, and we begin the healing process. In one of her many visions, St. Faustina saw two rays of light coming from Jesus' heart. We see it in the image here behind me. He told her, "When you go to confession, to this fountain of my mercy, the blood and water which came forth from my heart always flows down upon your soul and ennobles it." Mercy is the heart of Jesus, the heart that has given us everything, sanctification, redemption, salvation. It is from his wounded heart that comes the eternal source of light and truth, forgiveness, and love. The Divine Mercy prayer is a simple prayer. "Jesus, I trust in you." But do we really mean what we say, or are we just saying the words? It distressed Jesus. In one of the conversations he had with her, with St. Faustina, he said to her again, "That distrust on the part of soul is tearing at my insides. The distrust of a chosen soul causes me even greater pain. Despite my inexhaustible love for them, they do not trust me. Even my death was not enough for them." And I think that's where it becomes complicated, doesn't it? We're all looking for happiness in our lives, but happiness cannot be an end in itself. If all we seek is to be happy, we're never going to be satisfied. We must first seek goodness and holiness, and only then will happiness follow. And since Jesus is the source of all goodness and holiness, happiness is a byproduct of searching for and finding Jesus. "Seek first the kingdom of God," he says. And that's why he never promised us perfect happiness on earth. We will only find perfect happiness in heaven, where we will be with him forever. And he alone is the path to heaven. No one comes to the Father except through me, he says. And he was brutally honest with us that that path would not be easy. Full disclosure, he says, as long as we're on that path, we will experience hardship and suffering. If you want to be one of my disciples, you must pick up your cross daily and follow me. And that's why our Christian faith is not a cure for suffering, but our faith is a dependable and sure reason for our hope, that our suffering is not useless, that our lives have meaning and purpose. Why? Because Jesus promised us that as long as we follow him and his teachings, we're on the path to spiritual maturity in this life and eternal life in heaven with him after death. Jesus commissions his apostles to forgive sins. Forgiveness is at the heart of the gospel, but forgiveness and healing are only the beginnings of mercy. The true heart of God's mercy is to show his love for us. Mercy is that expression of love that Jesus, as the divine physician, uses to heal us. But let's remember that the essence of Jesus' mission was not healing. If it was, he would have healed everyone. He always offers his healing love to those who suffer, but he does not always alleviate our suffering or cure our infirmities. The essence of Jesus' mission was love, and he assures us that we will never suffer alone, because he loves us. Think about what the hardest thing you've ever had to endure in your life. Maybe the loss of a job, a divorce, physical abuse, abortion, addiction, the death of a spouse or a loved one, homelessness, the feelings of abandonment. We've all experienced one or more of these, and we all have different answers to that question. But no matter how much we answer the question, we all seek healing from our suffering and afflictions. In these days of instant media, where the world events are seen in real time, acts of terrorism, violence, wars, natural disasters, we experience those world tragedies when they happen along with everyone else. And we don't need to look very far to have other people and feel what they are when they're faced with those questions. A few weeks ago, I was watching 60 Minutes. And a story caught my attention, not because it was about war, but because it took place in the state of Alaska, one of my favorite places on Earth to visit. It was the story of the Battle of Attu. Attu is the farthest island on the Aleutian Chain. The story is based on a new book that just came out, The Storm on Our Shores. It was the first time in U.S. history since the War of 1812 that a U.S. territory was invaded and controlled by a foreign power. 6 months after Pearl Harbor, 2,600 Japanese troops invaded Attu in the hope that they could launch an attack on the west coast of the United States. Both American and Japanese forces fought long and tirelessly, and there were hundreds and hundreds of casualties. Included in that number was a Japanese medic, a man named Paul Tatsuguchi. Paul was a native of Hiroshima, Japan, but he graduated from medical school in Southern California, and he loved America, but he was forced to enlist in the Japanese Army. He was heartsick, and he was afraid to go to war, but he performed his duties faithfully and detailed everything in a diary as it unfolded throughout the war, and it was found by an American soldier named Dick Laird. Laird was from the Midwest, and he enlisted in the Army to escape the poverty in his town. In this devastating battle, Laird was forced to make a fateful decision to save himself and his men, a decision for which he would win the Silver Star for gallantry in action, but a decision that tortured and haunted him many decades afterwards. After the battle, eight Japanese soldiers were dead, and one of them was Paul, and Laird found his diary in the pocket of his jacket. In the writings, they showed a common humanity on both sides of the battle. Among other things that was written in the diary was the verse from Deuteronomy, "Choose life." And with these words brought about a conversion of heart for Laird. He killed a brother who believed and thought like him. It took almost 50 years, but Laird was determined to return the diary to the family and to try and find peace. He searched for and found Paul's daughter, Laura, in Southern California. He knocked on the door, introduced himself, and returned the diary. And after a long and awkward visit, as he was pulling away in the driveway, he turned to Laura and said to her, "I'm the man who killed your father." And then he drove away, leaving a shocked woman standing in the driveway. It took several years to deal with the anger and the pain, but eventually Laura wrote him and forgave him. She said she understood his pain, understood that he was only doing his duty, understood that it was not his fault. She forgave him and said he must forgive himself. He would later tell Laura that that night was the first time in 40 years he slept without nightmares. First came conversion, then forgiveness, and with God's mercy acting through Laura, healing had begun. In our search for our own forgiveness and healing, God also calls each of us to be instruments of healing. It's not just up to our priests. He says to us, "As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Love one another as I have loved you." Pope Francis reminds us that if we're capable of knowing God, then we are capable of love. And if we are capable of love, it is because our hearts are capable of mercy and we have been transformed by grace into new hearts. A heart capable of compassion is the heart of Christ. And that brings us back to the sacrament of reconciliation. Confession, I think, is often misunderstood. It's something we avoid. It's something that we procrastinate and we don't want to do. We think that God, through the priest, simply forgives us and that we receive grace. And that is certainly true, but it's much richer than that. There's a saying that says, "Time heals all wounds," but that's not really true. Time heals nothing. God is not bound by time. God forgave us 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross. He forgave the sins of the world. He destroyed death forever. And he gave us that gift before we were even born. In the sacrament of reconciliation, in our human time, we receive that gift. It is through grace that God's mercy we are forgiven. And it is through Jesus' love that we are healed. Jesus promised St. Faustina that, "My mercy is greater than your sins and those of the entire world. Who can measure the extent of my goodness? For you, I descended from heaven to earth. For you, I allowed myself to be nailed to the cross. For you, I let my sacred heart be pierced with a lance, thus opening wide the source of mercy for you. Come then, with trust, to draw graces from this fountain. I never reject a contrite heart. Your misery has disappeared into the depths of my mercy. Do not argue with me about your wretchedness. It will give me pleasure if you hand over to me your troubles and griefs. I shall heap upon you the treasures of my grace." What's the hardest thing you've ever had to endure in your life? This troubled another great saint of ours, Saint Elizabeth of Hungary. For many years, she was plagued with suffering and wished to know what Jesus experienced in his passion so that she could better understand the suffering of those around her and herself. And after many years of prayer, Jesus came to her and told her, "Let it be known that the number of armed soldiers that arrested me were 150, and those who trailed me while I was bound were 23. The number of executioners of justice were 83. The blows I received on my head were 150. Those on my stomach, 108. I received 80 kicks on my shoulders. 24 times I was led, bound with cords by my hair. They spit in my face 180 times. I was beaten on my body 6,666 times. 110 times I was beaten on my head. I was roughly pushed, and at 12 o'clock, I was lifted up by my hair. I was pricked with thorns and pulled by my beard 23 times. I received 20 wounds on my head, 110 pricks of thorns on my head, and 3 mortal wounds in my forehead. I was afterwards flogged and dressed as a mocked king. I had 1,000 wounds on my body. The soldiers who led me to Calvary were 608. Those who watched me were 3. Those who mocked me were 1,008. I lost 28,340 drops of blood. He endured all this, but he never lost his trust in God. Even when he cried out, my God, why have you abandoned me? He never lost faith. And we know that God the Father did not abandon his Son in his suffering, but allowed him, in his humanity, to experience a sense of divine abandonment. It's that same sense of abandonment that we often feel when we are suffering, and especially when we're in a state of sinfulness. Jesus died with the weight of all our sins on his shoulders, and so that feeling of abandonment must have been extremely heavy for him. But those were just feelings. Faith begins where feelings end. He forgives us, and he heals us. He suffered for us. He suffers with us because he loves us. That is God's divine mercy.